Discover, discuss, deliver. We are DPSD Vocals, a podcast aimed at broadening horizons and including lateral perspectives. We shed light on a diverse array of topics to enlighten and inspire you. From science and technology to arts and culture, our vision revolves around exploring the stories, ideas, and breakthroughs shaping our world.
In this episode, we uncover myths and understand the various aspects of attending such a prestigious institution like NIT Trichy.
Our guest today is Mayuka Motkala. Can you please introduce yourself for our listeners today?
Hello, I'm Mayuka Motkala, and I'm currently in the second year of NIT Trichy, and I'm pursuing mechanical engineering as a BTech degree.
That's great, Mayuka. All right, so I wanted to ask you, how many hours did you typically study daily for the JE exam, and how did that change in the month before the exam?
All right, so unlike most people who write JE, they tend to study for about 12 to 13 hours a day for like 3 to 4 years before, they actually give the first attempt of the JE mains attempt. And what happens is towards the end of the exam, where it's like the last 2-3 months of the exam, they tend to give it their all. So they go up to like 18 hours a day, and the rest of the time they only dedicate it to sleep. I think it was because of the school and JE balance that I did not have as much time to give to JE. But I think that significantly changed during the last month, because in the time before that, I used to give approximately 2 hours per subject, 2 hours for physics, chemistry, and math. And towards the end, I had a month gap between the boards and JE mains attempt. And that was when I gave it my all, and I used to study about 15 hours a day.
Was it hard for you to balance your school studies along with JE preparation?
I would say it is at a bit of a disadvantage than the people who have already been studying from, you know, 8th grade. There's a lot of students in India who start studying from 6th and 8th grade for their IIT preparation. But I think school sort of helped me, because neither was school very hectic. There were actually a lot of teachers who tried to give us JE mains preparatory level questions. So I think it's more about the cooperation. But one thing that I would like to say is the fact that in DPS, we do a lot of assignments, a lot of projects. And that, even though it might seem not very useful when you're writing JE, it helped me so much once I came to college, because the amount of workload that you deal with in college, you don't really realize it, because you've already come from such an environment where in DPS, you're either doing a project or you're actively participating in clubs, debates, or any extracurricular sports. And all the time, you're balancing your academics as well. And that is what is basically done in college too. And since I've already finished my first year, I know how it feels when you're living alone. You have to manage so much. And along with that, academics and extracurriculars, I think only a DPS student would not feel the stress after coming to college.
So you were able to manage school studies with your JE prep, but how did JE preparation affect your social life? Did you balance study with family time and friendships, or make sacrifices?
I think for this, it was more of a family effort than rather just me, because I was concentrating on, you know, studies and everything, and my parents were actively just trying to organize the whole schedule out for me. My mom would give me food in the room so that, you know, I would not have to take out time for separately for food and for studies. That way I sort of had like a bonding session every night with my parents. And it's not like I gave up on social media as well. Definitely reduced it quite a bit, to the point where I used to use my phone for just 15 minutes a day. And the rest of the time, it would be locked up inside this number lock, which I made sure only my mom knew the password for. So, I mean, you just need these tiny tactics for when you know, things are getting out of control and you do not absolutely want distractions in your life. But obviously, don't cut anything out, because in the end, it's all about balance. Imagine going away from like a place where you're just studying 24/7. It's either study or sleep. You're cut off from family and friends. And suddenly you get thrown into this environment where everything is so social, so lively. So I think the key for this is that you're not supposed to give up on anything, but just actively make like a good schedule, manage your time. And definitely, like, I would like to give all of this credit to my mom and dad.
That's nice. But many people have like this different opinions or NRI quota. Do you think it's fair to have it?
Okay, so in my opinion, I think NRI quota is helpful for quite a few people because of the fact that, well, in India, there is no such thing as school in 11th and 12th grade. They're all dummy schools. So you just sort of get enrolled in a school where you don't have to actually attend it except for when you have to write your board exams. But in in abroad, in like UAE, USA, everywhere else, wherever students come from, over there, they do have the pressure of academics and continuously showing up at school and participating in other activities. So I think because of that, they're not able to give as much time. So I get the whole idea about the NRI quota not being very attractive option for everybody else because everyone else thinks it's unfair. But I think for the people who do live abroad, it definitely matters to them. And even there's a lot of competition, actually. It's not as easy as people think. My roommate right now, she got in through the NRI quota, and I know how much she struggled to balance both her school and JEE. So I think it's helpful for a lot of people. And definitely, if you would like to keep the percentage at a minimum, then NRI quota should still exist.
That's great, because NRI quota, again, living abroad, apart from India, it is difficult to manage school and JEE prep, and it's not for everyone. But if you could tell your younger self one thing before you started your preparation, what would it be?
Definitely don't be hard on yourself, because I think that's one thing that I did a lot in the start of the preparation. Because unlike a lot of the others, I started pretty late. In 11th grade, I did attend a coaching center to help with everything, but I did not really pay attention to it because I was not sure whether I would be going to India and taking up JEE or whether I would go abroad. I kept all of my options open. And because of that, I ended up doing a bit much of all the sides and ended up doing not much of anything. And the moment when I finally decided that I would take JEE seriously was in 12th grade, in the middle of 12th grade, in the summer vacation. That was when I decided that JEE is it and I will be pursuing this as my goal. And it was pretty late, and I think which is why I took it very hard on myself. And towards the end of December, it became a sort of workload and this hectic sort of schedule that put a lot of stress on me. And I think I went a bit too hard on myself, pushing myself way too much, because everyone else was studying a lot and everybody else knew a lot more than me at that point. But I think the only thing that I had to do was listen to my parents a little bit more, because we went on a de-stress trip for a couple of days. And after that, it was, you know, sort of just to clear my mind and start everything afresh. And the amount of progress that I've made after that, taking minimum stress, was the best progress I've made. And the amount of study I've been able to finish during that time, that is something that I will always remember and try to recreate for, any of my future goals that I want to accomplish.
I think the problem which you faced, like deciding between India and abroad, many students are still not sure about what they want to do. So yeah, it's important for them to really decide now.
Yeah, I mean, I think a few of you guys were also talking to me about that. The only thing I would like to say is it's fine. It's completely fine to start later on. All you need to do is just, you know, make a good timetable, give yourself breaks and just work through it. and everything will be fine, because we all come from supportive families, and I think that is one key factor into making all of this the most de-stressifying experience. And it's completely up to you whether you want to go to India, right, Jay, or you want to do STEM in like abroad, in maybe US or UK or Ireland or wherever, or if you want to do commerce. There's a lot of options everywhere, all around the world.
Yeah, even for me right now, it's difficult to commit to the JE preparation completely, because I don't think I've still made up my mind whether I want to do JE or not, even though I somehow kind of preparing for it. But then again, I'm still kind of in a dilemma type of situation.
Okay, so that's a pretty great question. And actually, India versus abroad, they have very different aspects in terms of housing, education, food, culture, etc., etc. But of course, you have challenges like everywhere. And what ends up happening, though, is that when you study abroad, you get pretty well placed right after graduation. But in India, you'll have to do a master's degree, which is like almost become necessary now, in order to get recognized, to get a great job. There's a bit too much competition here. And with abroad, of course, you have like the whole long travels, facing the real world away from your loved ones sort of aspect, which you don't really see much when you're living in India.
So I think both have its pros and cons. And at the end, it just depends on where you want to do it and how you want to study and where, you know, your heart wants to go. Because in the end, just trust yourself. No matter what decision you make, stick to that. And I think that is one thing that I would like to say. Don't waste an entire year on just deciding whether you want to pursue this or that, because then you just end up in a state of confusion and you don't really know which one to do. And you might end up in a panic situation towards the end of your 12th grade. And to avoid that, try deciding early. But even if you are not able to, it's completely okay, because I did it much later on and I am completely happy and satisfied with where I am right now.
I think because of your dilemma, you also wrote the SATs and got a 1500, if I'm right. Was it the coaching that helped you, or were you preparing for it side by side?
No, the coaching I went to was strictly for JE. They used to take physics, chemistry, math, only JE-based questions, not even boards. I think it was mainly just my sole preparation that was side by side, along with school and all of this, because SATs are actually not very hard to crack for a CBSE student. All you need is a little bit of effort and do a couple of fast year questions and you're good to go.
That's interesting. So was NIT Trichy your dream college, and which other colleges were you keeping your eye at?
Well, so to say, I did not want to do mechanical engineering in the first hand. Initially, right? So what I thought was I'm going to do aerospace engineering, which still remains my final goal, by the way. I still plan on doing master's in aerospace engineering. So I actually wrote JE because I wanted to get through to JE Advanced and clear that as well, and then get into one of the four IITs which offer aerospace. And those are the only good institutes in India which offer aerospace. All the other institutes which offer aerospace are not up to the mark of the four IITs, obviously. There was IIT Madras, Kanpur, Bombay, and Kharagpur. And of course, there was IIST as well, Indian Institute of Space Science and Technology, which I also applied to and I got in, but due to other reasons of, you know, the campus not being very great and not many opportunities for extracurriculars, I did not opt for it.
That's a great approach, like not getting a preferred major, but still doing mechanical and then aerospace in the end. So how was your first year at NIT Trichy, and can you share some memorable experiences?
Definitely. I think college as such is a great experience for everybody. And the first year is the one where you experience all sorts of emotions. You are literally on an emotional roller coaster, because first of all, you let go of your parents and you're taken away from this shell. And honestly, I used to feel the same when I used to live in Dubai. I used to think, okay, I know so much about the world. I'm on social media as well, so I know what's going on around here. But trust me, the amount that experience teaches you, nothing else can do that. Once you come to college, you're living alone. You're doing your own laundry. You're managing your own money, your costs. You have to find completely new people and become friends with them. And at this point, they've already lived through their childhood. So it's much harder to make friends once as you grow older.
We would like to thank our guest, Mayuka, for joining us and sharing her valuable insights and thought-provoking perspectives on cracking the IITJ examination.
Thank you, guys. Good luck for your futures. I hope you do really well, and I know you will. I'm already rooting for you.
A feeling of gratitude extends to all our listeners as we wrap up this episode. We hope you get to take something from here and stay tuned to the upcoming episodes with a new guest, a new vision, and a new dream.